stand, where my hope shall be eternal. You love land, sweet Beulah land. Oh, let's sing in our church. Oh, it's Beulah land. I'm longing for you, and someday, oh, me, I'm gonna stand. Somebody say praise the Lord. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord tonight? How many of you enjoyed service here Wednesday night? I believe Brother Tony just brought us a wonderful message from the Lord, and just to see what God is doing all over the world. Well, we're just so thankful we can be counted as a part of that. Praise the Lord. Isn't it good to be a Christian tonight? Why don't you turn around, shake somebody's hand, tell them you're glad to see them in the house of the Lord tonight. What a privilege it is to be in the house of God. Play a little bit more of that, brethren, if you will. If you don't care to stand with me just for a minute, let's look at our prayer request tonight. Brothers and sisters in Christ, please hold me up in your prayers. I have a very urgent unspoken prayer request. Thank you, and may the Lord bless each and every one of you. So we'll just commit that need unto the Lord tonight. I want to remember Brother Terry Stockton. His back has been causing him a lot of pain. I also remember Sister Jaretta Stockton for an unspoken prayer request. We'll just commit those folks to the Lord tonight. I want to pray for Brian Wiggins. He cut his thumb today. He had to have 5 or 6 stitches, so let's pray that he'll be all right. I want to pray for the mother-in-law of Robert Marrero. Her name is Rufina Castro, and is suffering from Alzheimer's disease, so let's remember that need tonight as we pray. I want to continue to remember Brother Curtis Hunnell. He is doing better, but ask for our continued prayer for a complete healing. So let's remember that need tonight. Sister Cook turns this in for John Dixon. A mechanic called and requested prayer for healing in his back. An MRI showed that he has a serious condition. He needs to see an orthopedic surgeon. He's trusting that he will not have to have surgery, so they're asking that we would remember him in prayer tonight. Please pray for Isaac Short. He's sick, needs a touch from the Lord. Sister Linda Short sends that in. Brother Amos sends this in. A young man that I witnessed to gave his heart to the Lord today. Well, that's wonderful, isn't it? His name is Tommy Hale. Praise the Lord. His name is Tommy Hale. Pray for God's grace in his life as he has had a troubled past. So, well, the Lord just specializes in troubled past, don't he? Amen. Remember Brother Ernest Fulcher in prayer, pastor over in, I believe, in Virginia. He's going to be having a triple bypass surgery this coming Tuesday. So they're asking that we would remember that prayer request tonight on his behalf and just pray that the Lord would be merciful unto him. All the unspoken prayer requests tonight, if you have something you'd like to for this group to pray about, we just commit these things unto the Lord. We know he's more than able to meet our needs. We're actually resting in that he's bigger than all of our problems, and he's a God that cares about your need, ever how big or ever how little it may seem. How many of you believe he cares about you? Brother Palmer, would you come tonight, if you would, lead us to the Lord in prayer? Brother Palmer, if you'd come, lead us to the Lord in prayer tonight on behalf of these prayer requests. We just commit these things unto the Lord and ask God to have his way in this service tonight. You invite his presence. I believe we're going to have a glorious time here tonight. God bless you, brother. Appreciate you.
Let's continue to remember my mother. She didn't have any broken bones from her fall, but she is sort of bruised and quite sore. And for 88 years old, when you fall, it's not good. So if you appreciate the prayers. Heavenly Father, as we come tonight, Lord, what a privilege it is that we can gather together once again, coming together to feast around the riches of your precious word. Lord, we just want to say that we want to welcome you here. Without you here, we would come in vain. Lord, but we know that you'll be with us, because your word promised that you'd be with us. You'd never leave us nor forsake us. We stand on that precious word. Oh God, we have nowhere else to go. Lord, as we come, we ask for forgiveness of our sins, our faults, our failures, oh God. Lord, let there not be nothing in our lives that would be a hindrance. Lord, when that glorious day comes, when we go to that Beulah land, oh Lord, we'll walk the streets of gold with you, Lord. We're longing for that day. Now, Lord, these requests that have gone out before us, Lord, you've heard each one. You know the needs in each life, oh God. We just come and lay them before the throne of God now, praying that you would hear and answer each one of them, oh God, according to your precious will. Let your will be done in each situation. Lord, we just pray now that you would come and speak to our hearts tonight through the ministering of the word. Lord, we know that the word is anointed, but we pray that you would anoint the speaker. Lord, and anoint our hearts, oh God, that we might receive that word. Lord, help us to soak it up like a sponge, oh Lord. Just saturate our beings with your Holy Spirit, we pray. Come now, we pray. We just commit these needs to you, commit ourselves to you. In the name of our precious Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Palmer. God bless you. Ushers, if you'll come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering. If you're visiting tonight with us in this service, we certainly want to welcome all of you that are here. Visitors, may God bless you. Those that are streaming this service tonight, may God bless those folks as well. Let's sing a song tonight, Rock of Ages, Cleft for Me. How many of you want that rock to be under your feet tonight? You want to be standing on that solid rock? Certainly we do tonight. Let's sing it with all of our heart tonight. What key? What key would that be? Well, we'll keep working till we get it right. We're just we're a work in progress around here right now. Anyway, we're doing some things with the sound system, and the brethren, in most parts, they're working really with everything they got to get everything right, and. Well, we're just working hard to get everything right for you. Hopefully it'll be pleasing to everybody, but most of all, I want it to be pleasing to Him. How about you? Rock of ages, oh, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's sing a little song now. After we've sung Rock of Ages, there's going to be a meeting in the air. You believe me with all your heart tonight? How many of you planning on being part of that meeting? Don't know where it'll be, in the clouds or where it'll be, but Lord, just let me be part of it, right? Meet it in the air. Give the Lord a big hand clap of praise. You have heard of little Moses in the bulrush. You have heard of fearless David and his sling. You have heard the story told of dreaming Joseph. And of Jonah and the whale we often see. There are many, many others through the Bible. I should like to meet them all, I do declare. By and by the Lord will surely just meet them at that meeting.
There'll be no mourning over wayward love.
Oh, that's right.
There will be no lonely nights of pleading prayer. All our burdens and our hands will be lifted at that meeting.
By and by, I'm going to meet you over there, in that home beyond the sky. Such singing you will hear, never heard by mortal ear, be glorious, Lord, I do declare. In the air. Oh, there is going to be a meeting in the air. In the sweet, sweet by and by, I'm going to meet you over there, in that home beyond the sky. Such singing you will hear, never heard by the Lord, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. You have heard of little Moses in the bulrush. You have heard of fearless David and his sling. You have heard the story told of dreaming Joseph, and it every bit come to pass. And of Jonah and the well we often see. You take it from right there.
There are many, many others through the Bible.
All there is.
I would like to meet
and
them.
And we will.
All I do
we shall meet them.
By and by the Lord will surely let us meet them at that meeting in the air.
Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. You love Him with all your heart. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Amen. God bless you tonight. I'm going to let you be seated. We're going to have a couple of songs tonight. Brother David Seiler, I want him just in a few minutes. He's going to come and bring Brother Donnie out with a song. I am a Jesus man. Now, he says he's not a singer, but I disagree with him, don't you? Amen. Brother Joel Brown, I don't know how he has it arranged tonight, but they have a song here, how they have it worked out. They're going to come and give. I believe his mother's going to help him tonight. Well, give them a nice hand as they come tonight. Praise the Lord. Brother David, you come onto the platform. Brother David Seiler, you come on up here and get ready to sing when Brother Joel sings tonight. Give our singers a nice hand tonight, if you will.
This is unrehearsed, it's unplugged, it's just us. And I can remember growing up just as a voice I heard of her, my grandmother, my dad's mom, and my sister-in-law, my great aunt, you know, they just all get up and sing, and I guess that's where I got it from. If we mess up, we ain't singing for them, are we? Not singing for them. I'm gonna back her up, so you all just pray for us.
Just one more time.
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 Lord, I'm glad to be
in this number one more time.
Just one more time.
Just one more time.
Just one more time.
Just one more time.
Lord, I'm glad
to be in this number one more time.
Just to hear God's word.
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 Lord, I'm glad to be in this number
one more time.
Just one more time.
Just one more time.
Just one more time.
Just one more time.
Lord, I'm glad to be in this number
one more time.
Just one more time.
Just one more time.
Just one more time.
Lord, I'm glad to be in this number one more time.
Just to see your face.
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 Lord, I'm glad to be in this number
one more time.
Just one more time.
Just one more time.
Just one more time.
Just one more time.
Lord, I'm glad to be in this number
one more time.
Just to hear you pray.
Just to hear you pray.
Oh,
just to hear you pray,
Lord, I'm glad to be in this number
one more time.
Just one more time.
Just one more time.
Just one more time.
Just one more time. Lord, I'm glad
to be in this number.
Oh, one more time.
Well, Lou, don't take no for an answer. Well, the way I feel since the Lord saved me, words can never, never tell. Well, I'm fully whole, rejoicing in my soul with Jesus. As you plainly can see, that's the reason that I shout and see. Well, I'm washed in His blood, I'm a millionaire, I'm a child of the King. Yes, I'm a Jesus man. Yes, I'm a Jesus man. Well, in Jesus' name, my soul's aflame. For Christ, I am an heir. Well, forevermore, tell it o'er and o'er. There's nothing like it below. Gonna meet Him in the sky in the by and by. Cause I'm a Jesus man. If you don't know Christ, then you're missing. Though you're rich in silver and gold, you may live so high till He passes you by. There's coming a time, I'm told, won't do you no good, for without the blood there's no remission of sin. Live right today, you'll be glad to say, I'm Jesus' man. Yes, I'm a Jesus' man. Yes, I'm a Jesus' man. Well, in Jesus' name, my soul's aflame. Christ, I am in there. But forevermore, tell it o'er and o'er. There's nothing like it below. We're gonna meet Him in the sky in the by and by. I'm a Jesus man. If you don't know Christ in your midst, though you're rich in silver and gold, may you live so high till He passes you by. It's coming a time, I'm told, won't do no good for without the blood. There's no remission of sin. Live right today, you'll be glad to say that I'm. Yes, I'm a Jesus man. Yes, I'm a Jesus man. Well, in Jesus' name, my soul's aflame. Christ, I am in there. Well, forevermore, tell it o'er and o'er. There's nothing like it below. Wanna meet Him in the sky in the by and by. I'm a Jesus man.
The Lord. Amen. Well, we're a Jesus bride, aren't we? Amen. After all, we bear His name, and this is Jesus Christ. Let's turn, if you would, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 14. What a great privilege it is for us to be gathered together in the house of God, to be assembled with the saints of God of like precious faith. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 14. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. For this we say unto you by the Logos of the Lord, saying, account, speech, word, uttered by living voice, embodies a conception or idea, what is declared, a thought, declaration, act of speaking. So we declare this to you by the word of the Lord, the embodiment, the thought, the concept, that we which are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Now remember, the posture of Jesus' body has a great deal to do and say about what he is doing. Amen. Jesus knelt. Jesus stooped. Jesus stopped. So wonder what it would mean when we would meet Jesus in the middle of the air. It would have a significance, would it not? I mean, if you just come into a throne, then he would be seated if you was meeting him in a certain spot. But he leaves that, and then we meet him in the middle of the air. That says something. Well, what's it say? It says, you're going to be there. You're coming, you're rising to meet him. So he's waiting on you. Where? In the air. Not in heaven. He wants this bridal procession to be done right. Glory. Hallelujah. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these logoses. Now let's read again the quote from the rapture that we've been reading for a few services. But to the church, the bride, the rapture is a revelation to her. It's revealed to her so that it cannot just be logos. Because if the rapture was only by accumulation of logos, a person could read themselves in. They could study themselves in. Now remember, Revelation's never contrary to what's written. But you can know the written and not know the understanding. So he says, the true bride of Christ will be waiting for that, not more logos, for that revelation of the rapture. Now it is a revelation, for the revelation is faith. So if it's revealed to you, the faith for the rapture, and you're wanting rapturing faith, can't you see what it is? God's making known to you. Faith is a revelation because it's something that's revealed to you. Faith is a revelation. Something, notice, not something you read, not something that was explained to you, but something that was revealed to you. Now there's much difference between something that is explained to you by someone who understands it maybe better than you do, than something that is actually revealed to you. Because if I explain something to you, somebody smarter than me can probably explain it away from you. But if it's revealed to you, I don't care how smart they are, they ain't going to get it out of your heart. Faith is something that has been revealed to you. Now notice the comparison. Like it was to Abraham, that could call anything contrary to what had been revealed to him as though it wasn't so. So if God says you're going to have a body change, it don't matter the difference what the CAT scan says. Your age, you know, none of that. That doesn't matter at all. Remember, according to what Paul said in the book of Ephesians, he's going to present to himself a church without spot or... That's not just in your clothes. That's in your clothes. The only place in the entire Testament that word is used, New Testament. Wrinkles. Glory. Goodbye to wrinkles. Notice. Now faith. That's what faith is. The revelation of God. The church is built upon a revelation. The whole entire body. This is how Luther, Wesley, Pentecost could come in, not knowing what we know. They were part of the revelation of that day. And when God gathers the body, he cannot leave them out because they were part of what God was doing at that time. How can I know, Brother Donnie? How can I know? Be a part of what God's doing. He can't leave you behind. And maybe like to be remembered in prayer as we approach the Lord tonight. Let's just pray together. Heavenly Father, we love you so much. We thank you for your goodness and your mercy. Thank you, Lord, for the great visitation that has been made known of your presence in this last day. We count it indeed an honor and a privilege to be a part of the move of God. We are grateful, Lord, that you have given us a little portion of what you're doing around the world. We are so thankful to be identified with you. Lord, I pray that you'd take your word tonight and speak it to our hearts. Make it real to us, for we know you and you alone can quicken the word and make it live. Grant it, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. I want to direct you again tonight by the help of the Lord in the avenue of take the rapture by the word and look again at Logos and Rhema. Now let me read these words to you again, so in case you haven't remembered them, or if there's someone that would hear the service that kind of pick up on this one, didn't hear the others. In the New Testament, there are two Greek terms that are used to define our English term word. The word of God is made up or comprised of the Logos and the Rhema word. Both are absolutely essential in furnishing us with the fullness of God's knowledge and will, both as individual believers and corporately in our churches. The Logos word defines God in general concepts and ideas to give us the big picture of who God is. The Rhema word is a moment-to-moment portion of the Logos word uttered by the voice of God's Spirit and tailor-made. Now remember, the Rhema is not some strange, weird, something called a revelation that is contrary to this. But a Rhema will never leave what is absolutely written. The only one that can be able to receive a Rhema, which is not written in the Bible, is a church age messenger, a prophet of God. Pastors like myself, evangelists, teachers, lay folks like you, we are not designed to receive Rhema words without those Rhema words being tied to Logos. A prophet is designed by vision. Now he's so made to where he's made that God can deal with him in the realm of vision. And a prophet that does not have visions is not a prophet at all. Now don't get quiet on me already. Because a real prophet of God is so designed that the word can come to him. The word does not come to him by impression, because impression can be very deceiving. It cannot come to him by feeling. How many of us have felt led to do this and that and the other, and it turned out it was the devil that led us? Come on, there's more here that's been wrong than that. Either the devil or your flesh or something, it wasn't the Holy Ghost. But you see, a prophet is so made that we're in that realm of vision that God can give to him that which is not even written. The word of God came to John the Baptist. It was not even written what God said to him. It was not written what God said to Isaiah. It didn't have to be. It was not written many of the things that God said to Jeremiah, to Moses, to Ezekiel, to the prophets. Yet they were so designed in this way. Now, in this is the infallible part. Prophets are not infallible. That's where a lot of the stuff is going on right now, and people's getting shook off of their rocker around the message. And I blame preachers for a lot of it. Because they preach to their people that Brother Ram is infallible, and when their people go to find in this and that and the other, it just knocks them off their foundation, which is a shame. Folks, it's been around this message 25 and 30 years, and now they don't even know if they believe it anymore. Tie it back to where they've sat for all these years. That has a lot to do with it. But if you're sitting under a man of God that's trying to bring you the truth and trying to show you what's right, the truth only is what I desire. I'm not interested in tonight in us exalting Brother Branham and make a God out of his flesh. I don't need but one God. I don't need another one. Come on now. I serve one infallible being, and he is the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, I don't need an infallible pastor. I don't need an infallible prophet. I don't need an infallible song leader. I've got an infallible God. That's all I need. Right. Now, prophets are so designed in that realm to where God can so bring the word to them in the form of vision. Any man that claims to be a prophet and that does not have that capability is only an impersonator. I could go farther, but I won't. I already get in trouble enough. But I'm going to tell you, there's one in this day that folks claim to be a prophet, and I can tell you from his own words to me on an email that I received recently, he does not see visions.
So no man who is called to be a prophet of God and does not see visions, you better run from it. A real prophet of God will see visions. That's one of the reasons that he is a prophet. Now, notice this then, for every one of the rest of us that are pastors, teachers, evangelists, lay folks, then God can still give us rhema words, but those rhema words, to be certain that we would have a way to check those rhema words to make sure that they do come from God, is that they will always go in perfect continuity with that which has been written. Now, it'll not be something that'll be, you know, oh my, so close it would deceive the very elected apostle. No, it'll actually be right there in the word, but it is that portion of the word that God actually makes alive to you. He quickens that word and makes it so real to your heart. Now, noticing God gives you this specific something, it is that which is a right now word. It is a spoken word by the voice of God. It's not just you repeating what you've already said by Logos, but it's actually the Spirit of God quickening that word to you. One rhema word can do more in your life than volumes of Logos. Now listen to me, one rhema word can do more in your life than absolute volumes of Logos. You might be a walking Bible, but you won't be a walking rhema, because if you're a walking rhema, you're going to be changed. Can you imagine? You get enough rhemas, this body can't take rhema. Now this body can handle Logos after Logos after Logos after Logos. It can be in our memory. It can be in our spirit. This is one reason why, as a minister, that I study so much. If I go out to preach, if I'm here at home, I study, study, study. People say, why do you want to study so much? I want my human spirit full of the message. I want my human spirit full of the word. It gives the Spirit of God more to use when I stand up here. You see, but I've been out running around all day and going here and going there and doing this and that and the other. And whenever I stand up, he's going to have a lot less to work with. But if I fill my spirit with the Logos, then the Spirit of God has all that there to be able to use. It costs me big time. It costs any man. Is that right, preachers? It costs you because you want to have everything you can for the Spirit of God to be able to use. Now, it's the same with the child of God. You cannot fill your mind just with carnality. You cannot fill your mind with the things of the world. Never read your Bible. Never listen to a tape and expect the Spirit of God to quicken the word to you. How can he if you don't even know anything about it? So as lay people, I encourage you, listen to the tapes. Read your Bible. Read the book. Study the message of the hour. You'll not do it as a preacher. Don't worry about that. You're not called to do it. But feed on it as sheep. Listen to the tapes. Listen to the voice of the prophet of God. And don't worry, the Holy Ghost will give you what you need at the right time. Now, the word is actually written and placed in the Bible in the form of seed. Now, I expect you to be quiet on me the first little bit, because this might stagger you a little bit. But in that form, it lays there in the Bible, the written word of God, and it is actually dead. That response was about what I figured it would be. All right. Now, for the proof. So you can say amen to this. Looking to the unseen, the word is... Now, why do you feel funny when you read that? Why do you feel funny when you hear me say that? Why do you feel like that you're saying something wrong or something blasphemous? Tradition. Now, you think it's a godly reverence. It's tradition. Godly reverence will never make you hold your peace at the word. The Holy Ghost in you will say amen, even though tradition has taught you wrong. Tradition taught Abel that it was fruit that brought them out of the Garden of Eden. But revelation taught Abel it was blood. So Abel overrode the teaching of his father and of his mother and brought a lamb as a sacrifice for sin. Come on now, if we are the elect of God, then the Holy Ghost in us will override tradition. It may take 5 minutes, it may take 5 years, it may take 5 months, but if you've got the Holy Ghost in you will bring you over the top of tradition where you have been taught wrong. That's right. Now, why would God do this? Why would God be able to place His precious, wonderful words in the Bible and then allow those words to be dead? Now, think of it, because it runs a great parallel with what happened in the very beginning when He made the world, the universe. It also is a parallel of the predestinated seed, how that they would actually be recipients of the Logos in them when they are born. And yet they could live on this life as a sinner. They could do horrible things. They could be liars, whoremongers. Some of them could be homosexuals. Some of them could be prostitutes. They could be some of the awfulest sinners that ever was in this world. Yet down inside of them could remain a portion of Logos. And yet that Logos would lay there for years and years and years without life. And all it would take is the Spirit of God to come and quicken that Logos and bring them to life and give them a birth. Now what so then God, as we looked at it last week, then God severed life. He severed life from His Word, placed the Word in the Bible, and He allowed the Word to be as a seed. Now remember the Word, the written Word, the Logos, comes in these stages. First it begins as a thought in God's mind. Then it is spoken from the lips of God through His prophets, and they write it down. And then it becomes what? When it becomes into its fulfillment, it becomes a manifested Word. So it is a spoken Word, it is a written Word, it is a manifested Word. Then when we as children of God begin to feed upon the Logos, and we hear the Logos, and we hear it, and we read it, and we study it, and we look at the words, and we try to understand it with a better understanding, yet no preacher, no prophet, no other person can ever give you Remus. They cannot do it. Only the Holy Ghost can take that word and make it so real. A gifted man of God can help you and enlighten you and bring you to further understanding, but even a gifted man cannot give you a Rhema from God. Only God can do that Himself. Oh, praise the Lord. Now notice, let me read this to you again. Now that some of you is out of your shock from initially hearing it. The Word is dead until it's quickened by the Spirit. Now watch, Brother Random in this next one, he holds up his Bible and he says, the gospel, this is not the gospel. I'm going to preach it until you all say amen. If I preach this same quote for the next hour and 15 minutes, then we'll say the same quote. What are you waiting on? You. I ain't preaching this to these pews. I'd have come over and done that yesterday or the day before. I want you to get it. And I want you to see exactly where we are going with the Word of God and where the Word of God is taking us. Now notice he says, now the gospel, this is not the gospel. This is a part of the gospel. Paul said the Word, the gospel, came not in word only, but through power and manifestation of the Holy Ghost. Is that right? The gospel is not the Word only, the Word's just a... How many believe this? Can't you see how vain our pride is, friends, when we think we know so much about this? Can't you see how vain we are? Can't you see how vain message folks are when they fill their intellect, Brother David, with just quote, the prophet said this and the prophet said that, and they think they're so far along with God. It's just a bunch of seeds. It's just a bunch of seeds that they've accumulated and filled their mind with a bunch of seeds. But is there any life there? Is there any life? But yet somehow they think because they've got all this accumulation of seeds that go on the rapture, not without life. The rapture is not gathering seeds, it's gathering life. Glory to God. Your Bible will not go in the rapture. Your tapes will not go in the rapture. My tape library, my computer has got all the message on it. All the Bible on it. It's not going in the rapture. But life will. Notice the Word's just a dead letter. And the letter quickened and made alive and brought to pass what the letter says it'll do. That's the gospel. Now, how many of our message churches don't even believe in demonstration of the Holy Ghost? All they believe is doctrine, doctrine, doctrine. To them, the message is just one doctrine, that thou shalt not, a bunch of legalisms about this. That's all they know. Thou shalt not do this. Thou shalt not wear thy short sleeve. Thou shalt not do this, and thou shalt not do that. And I got a thou shalt not for you. Thou shalt not tell me thou shalt not. If the word says it, fine. I'm not interested in your thou shalt nots. I want to know what the word of God says. That's where life is. I didn't live through years of legalism in Pentecost. I ain't going back in this message. I'm sorry. Notice this. Again, he says the gospel came not in word only. Paul said through power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost, not just teach the word, but preach. Make manifest the word. The word has to be made alive. Now, it's not alive. Friends, can you understand what I'm saying? The word is not alive laying here in this book. The word has to be made alive. I can lay this Bible on this rail right there and let it lay there until the Bible corrupted and the wood rotted off of that rail. It would never change that rail. It would never make a child of God out of that rail. It would never do one thing to that rail. But if God wanted to do something, He could take that same word, put that in a frail human being, and let that human being become anointed with the Holy Ghost. And out of that human being's mouth, the Spirit of God takes that same Logos and makes it Rhema, and a lame child could walk. A man with cancer could be healed. Glory. Do you believe it? Hallelujah. That's why we should have all kinds of testimonies turned in this church and every other church in the message. God healed me of this. God done this for me. God done that for me. Gracia shouldn't be something that we've never had all in our life. It should be the culmination of something we've had every day of our life. A visitation from the supernatural. Glory. Notice this. The word has to be made alive. It's a... And what were you when you was in sin? A dead letter. You were Logos. You had representation in the Logos, but you had no life. Don't you see, but have to do this the same way as you. He had to do the earth the same way as he did this. It's all in the same pattern of God. If he would have let you have been born with eternal life and the seed quickened, oh my, there's no way that would have worked. It would have broke all the time so you could go forever so long. And that seed, we use the word dormant because somehow it seems to wash away this powerful term of dead. The word, the Bible, is dormant. It can lay dormant dead in the mind of a message believer. That's why I keep having hope for folks that have been around the church for years and years, because you think maybe tonight will be the night the Spirit will quicken that word. I want to keep believing. I want to keep trusting it will. Notice this. It's a dead letter until it's manifested, and then it's quickened and brought to pass. What God said about it, that's the gospel in action. New Testament Christianity. Oh, praise the Lord. Paul being well trained and knew the scriptures by the word. But you see the scriptures, how well you know them. If the Spirit doesn't quicken them, then the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. It must be quickened or made alive by the Spirit. If the Spirit doesn't liven the word and make it reality to you, the letter is just intellectual. Friends, we got message churches full of such people. That's why when something comes up and they can't find the fact, they can't find the date, well, Brother Branham's a false prophet. Why? It's intellectual. They can't figure it out up here. But faith looks at the same thing and says, I don't figure that out either. I still believe it. I've read the Bible. Bible since I was that big. I read it over and over and over again. When the voice of the supernatural spoke to John the Revelator on the Isle of Patmos and said, thou must prophesy before many nations and kindreds and people again. Is Jesus a false prophet? The angel of God a false prophet? So does that mean John the Revelator is going to rise from the dead again? Of course not. The book of Revelation is still prophesied. But he didn't say the book of Revelation. He said him. But him and the word is the same thing. So what? There is an understanding. Oh, they made God a liar. Come on, children. So you see, just by studying the logos and the facts and the figures, well, you know, God does not want us to be an accountant. We're not to be businessmen of the word of God. We're to be believers. Oh my. Notice this again, he says, in a court trial. The defense witness should know whether these people are believers or not. Because he is the one that quickens the word. He knows whether they believe or not. Don't you think so? Congregation says, isn't it amazing? They hadn't quit saying amen then and nodding. Of all my studying, I've never found where any of them that said congregation nodded their heads. How would y'all like if I come to church and preach this way? And I just made all kinds of strange faces. I mean, more strange than what I make anyway. But I never said anything. And y'all say, what's the matter with them? I say, I'm only doing like some of you all. I ain't saying nothing. It amazes me that some folks got a tongue as long as a copperhead outside of church, and they get into the house of God. It's just all clammed up. They don't say one word. Amen, friends. It's very important on your part. That's right. Congregation says, amen. He should know. He knows whether they are believers or not because he is the only one that can put life in the word. So the word then in logos form is lifeless. Like the seed in you was lifeless. And only the Holy Ghost can put life in that seed. Only the Holy Ghost can put life in this Bible. Oh, thank the Lord. Oh, he is the only one that can put life in the word. Here would be my body standing here without a spirit. It'd be dead. But it's only life can quicken this body to move. And it's only the Holy Spirit that can quicken the word. He's the only one that can put it in action. Notice this, and Charlie goes on to say, your body is a piece of flesh. But unless the Spirit is in there to quicken that body, it's dead. So is the Word. Can't you see what this does? This leaves us totally incapable of doing this. It strips us. It strips us, even though we would be so proud of what we know and our memory and our ability to recall. And even when it's done, we're still recalling dead letter. Well, should we not read it? Yes. Yes. If the Holy Ghost is going to fall, and he's going to fall on what I've got, I'd rather for him to fall on this much gunpowder than that much. If dunamis is going to come, I'd rather for dunamis to have a whole lot to light. Oh, glory. I'd rather for dunamis to have as much as I can contain instead of having just the size of a pinhead. Wouldn't you? Now, if he is going to activate our mechanics, and you've only got this many mechanics, that's it. That's all you give him. You only give him, bloop. That was it. When he moves on mine, I want it to move, whoop, gone. Glory. Oh my, glory. Notice this. The Holy Spirit should know, again, in another trial in Tampa. He is the life that's in the Word. He's the one that quickens the Word. Why would the Word need to be quickened? It's dead. Just like your spirit quickens your body, and the body is quickened by the spirit. Without the spirit, the body is of no effect. The body's dead. And the word, notice this date, 4/19/64. The word is dead. Without the spirit. Can't you see why Satan can use this to make mechanics, 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 mechanics? But no dynamics. Friends, it's going to be a lot closer around this message, I believe, than what we're thinking. When Brother Branham preaches the rising of the sun, he types it in this way. Say we're going back to Tucson this evening. And we've got two brand new Cadillacs. Notice, one of them wasn't a Cadillac and the other a Volkswagen. One of them wasn't a Cadillac and the other a 38 Chevrolet, but this brand new Cadillacs, which would have been 1965 Cadillacs. Look at them from the inside out. He said the seats are made of the softest of leather, doe skin. Got diamond studs in the steering wheel. The best tires, puncture proof and blowout free. Got the engine's been tested. All of it exactly the same. Looked identical. This is not comparing the bride to the Baptist now or the bride to Pentecost. Both of these Cadillacs were sitting in the tabernacle. Glory! Now remember, this is where it's at in the message in the last days. They'll pull right up, they'll roll them off the assembly line. And they'll go right up and they will look so close. Open the door. Yes, sir. That's right. That's right. Yep, my polished steering wheel. Absolutely. Diamond studs are there. Yes, sir. Soft as the skin. Feels just like one. My, look at the wheels. The tires. Oh, man. That was, yes, sir. Exactly right. Exactly right. Boy, I tell you what. Both of them going to the rapture. Oh, no. They've not started yet. Both of them. Oh, my. Both of them got gas. But yet, Brother Ben said, you go to start one of them and there's no spark. Fire. Got the steering wheel, got the key, got the radiator, got the battery, got the starter. At that time, points, plugs, condenser, spark plug wires, all that sort of thing. Even gas in the tank. Got tapes, got books, got Bibles, got churches, got pastors. But one of them just sat there and cranked on the logo. I'm leaving. I'm quitting. I'm out of here. But you climb in, sit down in the oven, put the key in. There she goes. Mechanics and dynamics and spark. What does it do? Now, here is the gasoline. My, you could burn the car down with the gasoline. You could burn this building down with the amount of gasoline in a Cadillac. But it won't move that Cadillac 1 ounce, one inch, unless there's spark in that ignition. And spark is fire. Right? Which produces combustion in the chambers and the pistons go up and down and alternate. And then at that time they had points and condenser and plugs and plug wires, so it had to be timed exactly right. And then the rotation of the cylinders, which one was 1 and 8 and 6 and 5 and 4 and however they rotated them during that time. And yet that would be the way that it would work. And the combustion going up. And what's it doing? Fire, 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 fire. Amen. And what's it doing? It's producing power, 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 power. The fire is producing on the gasoline and it's producing what? A power to shove that Cadillac down the road. But all the message folks still want a revival, so what they do, it won't start, so they get out and they push it. What are you doing? Oh, bride's revival, bride's revival. Come on, church. Oh, real bride's revival don't have to be pushed. So the Holy Ghost is the quickener of the gasoline. So the gasoline's in the tank, comes up to the fuel pump, right up into the carburetor at this time. You know the way they had it, not fuel injectors the way we do today. But in the carburetor, you pump the pedal a couple of times, you crank it up, and when it does, it begins to ignite, sends a spark to the spark wires from the plugs and all that, and comes up, boom, cylinder hits, maybe 1, 3, 5, 8, however it was they had them wired. And then from there, it begins to run, then it idles. And then it builds up enough where you can pull it down in D. See, we're pulling ours down in H, heaven. Amen. I don't want D for dirt. I want H for heaven. I want to get out of this place. I mean, brother, we need more power than there ever was before. Our Cadillac better be full of gas. It better be full of mechanics, but we better have some fire in us too. Now, I'm talking about emotion. I'm talking about the person, the pillar of fire. He is the quickener of that word. He is a defense witness of the defendant. Amen. How are you going to get past that? I want this court to understand that very well. That he is the quickener. He should know. He quickens the word. Notice again, broken systems. Even to the written word. Say it if you're not afraid. It's got to be quickened by the Holy Spirit. How many believe this is the word of God? In seed form. On purpose. He did this on purpose. Satan and all his theologians can quote it and study it and quote it and quote it and can't create one thing with it. But you take a little mama that's just as simple as she can be. She don't understand nothing about theology, nothing about Greek words. She may not even speak English real good. But the Spirit of God begins to anoint her heart. Like that little black Aunt Jemima down there in the south. Remember? You know what, friends? It's absolutely amazing. We'd almost think it blasphemous. Brother Branham asked Kirsten, I'm Brother Branham. You ever hear of me? No, sir. Never heard of you before. Well, my Lord. Well, a lot of us will say, you infidel, you unbeliever. She hadn't heard of Brother Branham, but she did know about Jesus. I'm afraid for many folks it's the other way around this message. They've heard a lot about Brother Branham, but they don't know Jesus. Woo! Preach, Brother Donnie. Oh, they know a lot about Brother Branham. They know when he was born. They know all this and that and the other. But they can't hardly tell you nothing about Jesus, especially about experience. But this little woman standing there with that on her back and her blue, she said, I've been waiting for you. I've been waiting because I told God, yeah, I'm not that shooting that woman. But where's your Elijah? Where's your Elijah? She didn't write to Jeffersonville. She didn't text to Brother Branham. But she had a direct line in the presence of Almighty God. Amen. Can you imagine God had that plane to hold on the ground for that one little ignorant colored woman down there that most people wouldn't give the time of day. But God held his prophet on the ground and God held an airplane on the ground because somebody knew how to put mechanics with dynamics. Praise the Lord. If she could do that without all the understanding of the message, what ought it to do to us? So has all of our learning set us free, or has it bound us? Oh, we know this and that and the other, but can we make it work? I've often said this, and I'll say it again tonight. I think it's worth repeating. If you would have lived in the days of Jesus, would you have been able to stop Jesus in his tracks? If you would have been sitting on that outside wall on that cool October morning and you got to your spot just a little bit late because you had been dreaming. You had been dreaming the night before that you were able to see. So you couldn't sleep during the night and you turn back and forth and back and forth and you come up to your spot and you found your way and you was able to get there and everybody, you know, seemed like the crowd is way ahead of you and some kind woman that was following Jesus and you said, what's going on? He said, oh, it's Jesus. Jesus is here. Brother Brandon said, no matter where it goes, there's always a bunch of noise. It kind of makes me wonder about some of these dead churches. I mean, you think, is Jesus not there or what? Let me tell you something, friend. I want to be like Jesus in lots of ways. I'm not Jesus. I go where I'm invited. But that's only half the story. I only stay where I'm welcome. Come on. Jesus has come into the lives of many, many millions of people down through the ages. But Jesus was not allowed to go in all the doors of their heart. So Jesus was not welcome. He will only stay where he is welcome. Oh, may he always be welcome on this hillside. May he always be welcome in our home, Brother Amos. May he always be welcome in our lives to be able to lead us. You understand? He went to Simon the Pharisee's house. He invited him, but Jesus was not very welcome, so he left. If you and I would have sat there that day on that cold October morning, the prophet said he reached around and grabbed his garments. It's that October morning. It was a chill. And he sat there kind of shivering. And this kind lady comes. He said, you tell me what's going on? Can you tell me what's... Oh, yes, it's Jesus. He said, Jesus the prophet? Jesus the son of David? You mean he's here? I said, oh, sir, he's just ahead of you. He's already passed. He said, oh, you mean he's here? He said, I'm sitting right here not too far from where Elisha and Elijah crossed over the River Jordan there. I'm not sitting very far at all from where Joshua, that great general, marched around the walls of Jericho and they fell down to the ground. And that mighty general is right down the road. And of course, Bartimaeus, being a good message believer, started nodding his head for Jesus. And Jesus stopped. Because Bartimaeus nodded his head. The Bible says he cried out. I know, friends, you laugh at me. You think that has no significance, but I'll tell what you do. You read your Bible and you prove me wrong and I'll repent in the morning. I'm quoting you the Bible. You might have to repent tonight. You think that's Pentecostal? It is not Pentecostal. All through the Bible, the people said, amen. They didn't nod. They didn't sit there and look at the preacher. There's something about it. God wants his people to respond to that word. Oh, you're Pentecostal. Ain't got nothing to do with Pentecostal. It is the word of God. Look all through the book of Psalms. And you can tell the book of Psalms is written by a musician. If the book of Psalms had been written by another type of person, it said things altogether different. David was a musician. That's why I said, sing loud. Sound with a loud voice. Clap with a loud sound and cymbal. If it had been written by somebody else, somebody you know kind of sensitive here and said, everybody be still and know I'm God. But David was a musician. He knew expression came through music. Glory! So David was constantly saying, and the people said, amen. Blessed be the Lord. And the people said, amen. Why? Because there was a response. What is it? It's you connecting with what's being preached. You're letting angels know. You're letting devils know. I believe it. I believe it. It's the truth. I give my vocalization. Yes, Lord, it's right. I hope with all of my heart I would have been able to sit out there at that gate that day and stop Jesus Christ right in his tracks. If I'd have been the poorest man there, I would have wanted so much faith. Wouldn't you? Not just honest years, Pharisees and Sadducees are great intellectuals of the message of Moses. Man, they could quote that word and they couldn't stop Jesus at all. They had no access to contact Jesus at all. Why? They studied the Logos, the Word. Moses said. He said, if you would have known Moses, you'd have known me. For Moses wrote of me. He said, you cannot receive my remas because you're not of God. But he that is of God hears my remas, not my logos. Glory! Broken cisterns, even to the written word, it's got to be quickened by the Holy Spirit. No matter how much theology you got, it's laying there. I could have a handful of wheat until it gets into the process to where it can be quickened. That wheat will never live. You can have a doctor's degree, a PhLL. You know what LLD is, don't you? Long-legged devil. So all these LLDs are. Now, we don't hand out them degrees in the message, but we've still got some of the same ones. Same spirit. They think they're PhDs. They think they're LLDs, doctors of theology. All that's a bunch of trash. It's a bunch of nonsense. What good does it do if all you've got is a whole handful of wheat? Don't you see what we're doing, friend? We're accumulating tape load after tape load after tape load and book load after book load, and we're just piling wheat all around us. Look, friend, we're not living in the days of Joseph when they gathered together in the barn. We're not living together when they garnered together. We're living in manifestation time. Remember, the bride was represented in the tabernacle, not as a handful of wheat, but the loaves that were made, which was the further process of the wheat. I don't want to just be seed. I want to be bread on the master's table. Glory! I can have a handful of wheat. Until it gets to the process to where it can be quickened, the wheat will never live. You can have a doctor's degree, a PhLL, whatever you wish to, but until the Holy Spirit comes upon that and quickens it to you as a personal experience with God. Now see what it does? The Holy Spirit actually quickens that word with a personal experience. Your own personal logos in you come from the spoken word. The spoken word is the original seed. And when you were born into this earth, you received a deposit of logos. You received a deposit of logos, and the Holy Ghost come on that logos, and you had an experience with God. Lord Jesus, help us, Father. But until the Holy Spirit comes upon that and quickens it to you as a personal experience with God, then the wheat does no good. You're learning. So what will it be for many people to just learn the scripture and learn the message quotes if they do not allow that wheat to be quickened? It is in vain. Can you imagine? In vain. A waste of time. They've been just as well off to read comic books. They've been just as well off to read Better Homes and Gardens and Merriam-Webster Dictionary and, you know, how to grow dahlias and how to grow a pond fish and how to do this and that and the other. At least that's a practical application in life. But when they take the word and they think because they've got the letter, this is all I need, bless God, that word. But what part of that word? It's not just logos. God is the author of this, friends. It's not me. Wish I could sick all them old Greek words. Oh, I'm sorry, Paul spoke it all the time. One of his languages. It was the language of Luke. Come on, don't get set to blow up on me. Amen. Notice this. Then I wonder, when we receive the deposit of God by the breath of God, that little seed of life, Brother Bram said, let me straighten out doctrine. I might inject this if you don't believe it's quite all right, but I do believe it. I don't believe that you could ever be a Christian without there being something in you, said when you come to this world. Many of you can fellowship with me on this thought. When you was a little boy or a little girl, there was always something in you that loved God. Something that drawed toward God. He said it was the seed in you. God, Richard Mercer, in 1965, he said, that seed of life. And he said, God deposited that in you. God was the one who placed it there. Yet how in the world could it be in sin? It was a seed. Just like bean seeds, mayor seeds. Brother Manuel Wade had given me and Carol some tomatoes the other night. Real beautiful tomatoes, kind of long shaped, look almost like a pepper. And Carol said, oh, I know my mama would like these. So she took the seeds out. She cut the tomato open and we ate the tomato. And she cut the seeds out and laid them outside so she could share those seeds with her mama. So those seeds will be able to lay and lay and dry and lay and lay until next year. But they've got a little something down inside them. But you know what? They're laying on a napkin now on the back porch. I don't expect to go out tonight after church and see maters running over off that napkin. Because it's not the right environment. It's not the right atmosphere. Even though they are seed, those seeds must enter into another process. A process of what? To where all the flesh on the outside dies away. Glory to God. everything dies away. And then they must be planted at the right time, with the right moisture, with the right temperature, with the right cycle of the sun. And what will it do? Then from that plant, which he got it from somebody else, and they got it from somebody else, and they got it from somebody else, and they got it from somebody else. Oh, hallelujah. But that's a perpetual life that keeps on going. But what about eternal life? What about eternal life that God gives it to us, and that seed lay there on the back porch of our life as it was and did nothing? You'd sit on that bar stool and get drunk, and you'd smoke, and you'd fill your mind, your veins with dope, and do all kinds of things. And every now and then you'd get a glimpse of something and say, there's got to be more. There's got to be more. But you see, that seed wasn't alive, so it couldn't release power in you to help you to overcome that bondage. Because you was born that way. You was born with that nature. But the seed didn't have no life to deliver you from alcohol. It didn't have no life to deliver you from adultery. So your seed had to get married to the Holy Ghost. But, glory! So once your seed and the Holy Ghost united, it produced a new birth. Oh, glory! So the Holy Ghost quickened the Logos and gave me a new birth. Then my soul actually becomes a rhema. Ooh, glory! I am no longer Logos. I am no longer just a written word, but a living epistle. Lord Jesus, thank you, Father, for this. Notice he said there's only one thing that'll quicken this word. That's the Holy Spirit. Friends, we love teaching. We love studying. But unless the Holy Ghost quickens that word, you could sit under the best preacher, whoever that is in the message. You could sit under that preacher for years of your life and never be quickened. Because a preacher can't do it. Only the Holy Ghost does. Notice again, Jesus is the Word. You believe that? And He is the Word. The Bible is Jesus. In printed form. And it takes His Spirit to quicken those words to bring them to life again. Now Jesus was the Word. In the beginning was the Word, Logos. And the Logos was with God, and the Logos was God. Verse 14, and the Logos was made flesh. How come John didn't say Rhema? Because Rhema couldn't die. So God had to prepare a Logos body, which could be the atonement for our sin. Rhema cannot die. So Logos could come to the earth, and the people look at it and still confused about the Godhead, and they say, well, God died. No, He never. The Logos was made flesh. That was a part of God's attributes, but the fullness of God did not die. It's totally impossible. So here is the Logos on the earth for 30 years. But it wasn't quickened. Glory to God. Here was the Logos on the earth for 30 years. You know, in one way, every time I preach this, I dread preaching it because I always get emails. I don't know if people don't study. I don't know if they don't look at it. They think I'm making this up. I just don't understand it. I've been saying this for years and years and years and proving it by the message that Jesus had to have the Holy Ghost. When are we ever going to believe it? Don't you see, if He would have come to the earth with the Holy Ghost, He's God's example seed son, then you would have had to come to the earth with the Holy Ghost after Calvary. So He come to the Holy Ghost to the earth without the Holy Ghost, knowing you would come to the earth without the Holy Ghost. He got the Holy Ghost so that He knew you would need the Holy Ghost and you'd get the Holy Ghost. Amen. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Notice this. So the Bible is Jesus. Notice He doesn't say Christ. The Bible is Jesus. So Jesus is the man, the boy, God's servant. In printed form. So this was like the representation of Jesus, the man. You understand, God would have never accepted Jesus if he would have died when he's 28 for our sins. You understand, God would never accept that he only had holy blood. God would have never accepted him without the Holy Ghost. Oh Lord, more emails. He made his soul an offering for sin. So in that soul must be deity. He could not come to the earth and be Logos, because if Logos alone could die, then they could take the Ten Commandments and nail them up on a cross and say, that's the Word, it's God's Word, and let the Word die for us. But it could not be that. The Word was made flesh, and the flesh had to die, but the life, the soul on the inside, had to be willing to say, into thy hands I dismiss my spirit. It was not just the chemistry of the blood. It was not just the chemicals of the body. It was from the soul out that redemption, all glory to God, was going to come by. Why? Because Satan is the very epitome of selfishness, and selfishness must be crucified way before he ever got to the cross. And that does not come from the death of the body. It does not come from the bleeding of the body. It comes from a higher life in the soul. So Jesus had to crucify selfishness before he ever went to the cross. And the crucifixion was from the soul before it was ever from the body. And he made his soul an offering. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Watch this in Christ the mystery. When he died, he only died in the flesh. His spirit went to hell. And preached to the souls in prison. That right? His flesh only died. Then he raised it up again. And now notice this. He raised it up again. Notice what he said. He raised it up again and quickened it. Now remember, when Jesus died, he looked like a 50-year-old man. Jesus did not just come back to life in the tomb. His body was changed. Ooh. Lord God. We're not going to see a man that looks like he's 50 years old. He was not just brought back to life and looked like a 50-year-old man with gray in his beard and gray in his hair. He was changed. Oh, glory. Why? Because you need a change. He went through the change so you could have a change. Praise the Lord. So his body was brought to life and changed. Oh my, hallelujah. He raised it up again and quickened it. Quickened means made alive, his flesh, which was his body. And that's the Word. It's been laying dead for years, but it gradually began to come in the Reformation. And now, watch this. Watch it. It changed now from him to her. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. His body was laying dead. But now she is standing on her feet. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Notice her posture. Her posture, she's not now down on her knees. Oh God, be merciful. Oh God, don't kill me. Oh God, please don't kill me. Oh God, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy. But something has happened to her by the preaching of Rhema. She's standing up on her feet, ready to meet her Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. You know what I love about this? I've been studying these quotes for day in and day out and day in and day out. And I go to preaching and y'all go to pulling. And that word she right there look like it's about that big on that page. You know what I'm talking about?
Rima! Rima! Hallelujah! Rima! Glory, glory! He quickens that word and makes it alive.
Oh, God. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! She is standing upon her feet. Notice this in the Easter seal, and we'll finish. He was the Word manifested here on earth, but He could not do this. Just as a man. He's taken the Spirit of God dwelling in him to quicken these promises to him. So even Jesus, Brother Skip, holy, righteous, sinless Son of God, but even his flesh, remember Brother Ben said no flesh could be justified in the presence of God, even the flesh of Jesus Christ. No flesh can go in his presence. So here he was, the Logos. But even being the Logos, he could not quicken it to himself. No doubt he read it, he studied it, and he was brought up with the Torah. And he had his bar mitzvah when they would go and do all of that. And remember, at the age of 12 when he was there, that's what he's doing. So he broadens the phylactery. And no doubt they put the little phylactery on his head, like all the rest of the Jews. And he played all the part, but it could not be real to him. Jesus' flesh could not quicken the word to him. Can't you see? Neither can ours. But the Jerry of Jesus' flesh can do it. My flesh can't do it. Your flesh can't do it. You're taking the Spirit of God dwelling in him to quicken these promises to him. Do you understand? I just read about you. What will it be? What will it take? The Spirit of God in us to quicken these promises to us. This is for you, Harry. I'm included in this. This is me. I hope that we all get this real close now. Jesus being a man himself, the body. But it took the Spirit in him. The Spirit, it's not me that doeth the works. It's my Father that dwelleth in me. He's the one that does the works. Paragraph 57, and now the same Spirit that was upon him to be the Redeemer in that age that we have accepted now the promise in the last days. What would take place if you become a part of that Word? You are redeemed with him because the same Spirit that dwelt in Christ is dwelling in you, quickening your life to this age. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. The same Spirit that was in him is in the bride. It quickened his life to that age. It's quickening our life to this age. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Notice, not your head. Not your head, your life, quickening your life. As long as you're here in this life, brothers, we'll have to turn this head. Because the head ain't been quickened. But if the life's been quickened, there's something in it to turn the head. Oh, glory. Don't you appreciate his grace? Let's bow our heads together. Brother Bam says it this way, the word keeps quickening. As you come to first limb, second limb, third limb, on up, it just keeps quickening. The Spirit of God keeps quickening to you, the life giver. We take the rapture by the word. Not just Logos, but that word is what's been made so alive to us that it quickens our life to this age. Friends, don't let false doctrine shake you.
Don't let people turning away shake you. These things must come. For the end cannot come except to come a falling away first. And it will be a what? Falling away from tradition? No, a falling away from the faith. Don't you understand? People cannot fall away from the original faith until the original faith has been fully restored. Many people now are doing exactly the same thing they did in the first century. When the word was revealed and the apostolic order of God was set forth, then they fell away from that. They cannot really fall away from the original faith until the original faith has been restored and preached and vindicated. Now that it has been in this age, then people can fall away from that original faith and become apostate, an apostasy. And then it starts the same thing as it was again. But remember, this will not go in this cycle anymore. This is the end. And the rapture is taking the grain to a process and setting it on the table as the two wave loaves before the presence of the King. For you see, the shewbread was called the bread of His face, or the bread of His presence. It was right before you walked into the veil, into the presence of the King. So here's the seven lamps, the seven branch lampstand, the menorah, all these different things right before you go into His presence. So the last thing you would see is the bread of the bride before she's taken into the presence of God. This is God's culmination of His work of thousands of years before the rapture. How many wants to be that? You want to be a part of it with all your heart. We don't want to just be seed. We want to be bread. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, You saw our hands as they were uplifted in this building tonight. Lord Jesus, we desire Your help, Lord. We thank You for Your written word. We thank You for the Logos of God. I thank You for that which I received July the 9th, 1956, born in a little old shack on the side of a dirt road. Big old holes in the walls and planks and whatever more. Mom and Daddy bring me back to that little old house that they lived. A little old two-room thing. About half as big as this sanctuary. Mama didn't see it, I don't guess. Daddy didn't see it. Mama been 18, Daddy been 17, and been married about a year. They didn't see it. When I took my breath of life, Logos come from the presence of God. At the age of 12, You'd started dealing with me, and I'd ask Mama what you have to do to get saved. They'd take me down to the creek there at Otter Creek and break the ice in January and baptize me in titles. I was sincere. I didn't know any better. I started my journey. The seed had laid there for not really that many years, but it still wasn't born yet. I had an experience. The Spirit of God touched me. I thought I had a new birth, but really it would be many years later before I'd ever get a word birth. How could I have a word birth in Malachi 4 when at any moment Malachi 4 was here? So I preached, went through Pentecost, seen signs, wonders, healing. And I thank You for those experiences because they were real and genuine to me. But one day, that Logos had to be born by the breath of God. And we know it parallels Ezekiel. But as Ezekiel sees in the vision, and he speaks to the valley of dry bones. And he prophesies in successive stages. And the bones start coming together. And then sinew and on and on and on. The mechanics are laid together. But still it's not alive. Then God says, Son of Man, prophesy. Prophesy. And here comes a wind, the breath of God. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, our bones started coming together. Many of us up through Baptist, Methodist, whatever more. But one day we got under the influence of the revealed word, the Son of Man, Christ Himself. And He breathed into us the breath of life. And we became a living soul. Lord, since that time, maybe many of these people can't even say the day or the hour. They can say when they spoke in tongues in Pentecost. They can say when they went up to the altar at that Pentecostal church or the Baptist church. But really, they'd be stumped as to when truly they received a word birth. As Lord, it may have happened when they were sitting right here in this church.
It may have happened when they sent it home, listened to a tape, and all of a sudden the Spirit of God through the Word they'd been hearing, going back and forth to church and fellowship, and they just listened to something at home, and my, the Spirit of God overshadowed them. They received a new birth. Lord God, how we thank you for it, Lord. Oh, how grateful we are that we passed from death unto life. Then, Lord, the tapes, the books, the quotes, the Bible, it takes on a complete new thing, Lord God. Then we don't want to lean to our own understanding to try to understand it or interpret it or make it real or put it together. If you, Lord Jesus, your flesh could not make it real to you and you was virgin born, I know my old sorry flesh can't. I need the Holy Ghost to make this word real to me, Lord. Grant it, I pray, Lord. Grant it to each one of these. You saw their hands as they were uplifted, Father God. Help us, I pray. If there's a 1 year, Lord, that's not born again, may the breath of God move through this place tonight. There's one over in Norway streaming the service, or Lord God, maybe in the Congo, maybe down in Zimbabwe, South Africa, wherever they are, Lord God, up in the wilderness in Canada, wherever they are, may the Spirit of God come down right now where they are, Father God. Right there in the living room around the computer, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Brother Michael told me, Lord, a few weeks ago when I preached this verse, a brother from overseas called him, said the Holy Ghost had come in their living room, him and his family was down there all shouting. They could hear him in the background shouting the praises of God because the Spirit of God come in the room up there where they were. You're God. You're not limited to these four walls. Lord God, minister to your people around the world. Minister to your bride. Breathe your breath on her, Lord. Lord God, she's going through trouble. She's going through things she's never been before. Breathe on us, Lord God. Breathe strength. Breathe courage. Breathe what we need, Father, I pray. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Let's raise our hands, can we? Now we receive the Word. Let's water it. Remember Brother Branham said Abraham received the promise of being a father? He said he watered it every day with praise. You believe what you've heard tonight is the truth? Then let's water that with praise. Let's thank him for it. Let's love him for it. Let's adore him. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you for the Logos. Thank you for the written word. Thank you for every book we've got, every tape we've got. I thank you, Father, for every message from the prophet of God. But I thank you for the Holy Ghost, Lord Jesus, that can come and get on these tapes and make them real, Lord. Even though they were preached back in the 50s or the 60s, yet you, Lord God, have the ability of moving on there. And you can make it alive, Lord. I pray you grant it to us tonight, Father. Help us to realize it's not enough just to listen to the tapes in a repetitive manner or read the Bible in a repetitive manner, but Lord God, the Holy Ghost must fall upon this word and fall upon our souls and make it real. That's the way it'll be for the rapture. One day the Spirit of God will be released from heaven, that rapture dynamic power. It will fall upon our mortal bodies and they will be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, because Lord God, you will speak and the rapture will take place. It will not be a repeating of Logos, but from your own mouth will come the rhema of the body change. And our bodies will respond, Lord God. How can we go if we're not hearing Rhema now? Oh, Lord, help us, I pray. Help us, I pray, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Oh, blessed be your wonderful name tonight, Lord. We adore you, Jesus. We magnify you. We give you praise tonight, Lord God, for your worthy. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That's it, friends. Just love him. Oh, just let him know how much you love him and appreciate him. My, he's been so good to all of us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. We bless your name tonight, Father. We rejoice in your presence, oh Lord. Hallelujah. Let me read this to you. We'll pick it up, Lord willing, again in the morning. Watch you like Jesus, like the earth. Smyrnian Church Age, brothers, page 152. Now then, here we're coming to a conclusion. As the eternal Logos God was manifest in the Son, and in Jesus dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And that eternal one was the Father manifest in flesh, thereby gained the title of Son. Even so, we, eternal in his thoughts. in our turn. Do you understand where we are? This is our turn. Daniel had his turn. Daniel had his turn, Brother John. Jeremiah had his turn. Brother Branham had his turn. It's now mine and your turn, Brother Skip. Glory to God. Glory. In our turn became the many-membered spoken word seed manifest in flesh. Now notice, in our turn we become this spoken word seed manifest in flesh. And those eternal thoughts now manifest in flesh are the sons of God. Even so, we are so called. We did not become seed by the rebirth. We were logos seed. Oh! We were seed and therefore were reborn. For only the elect can be reborn. Because we were seed is the reason we could be quickened. Because we were logos. And the Spirit of God moved on that logos. In non-seed. Nothing. Nothing to quicken. You ought to be the happiest person in the world, man. Glory to God. If God stops tonight and never answers another one of our prayers, we shouldn't complain about it. If He never heals another one of us, my, if we have to beg on the side of the road and never does one thing more, if we've got that seed in us, we ought to shout from now to the body change. For in non-seed, there is nothing to quicken. Here you stand tonight. You couldn't buy it. There's no way you could buy it, barter it, deal with it. There ain't no way. God gave it to you. Praise God. Praise God. Sing, hey, so I'll hush. Brother David Hunt says now for part sermon, part two. So we'll shut off part two. Sing, hey. Oh, it's so good. I don't want to cut it off. Don't you appreciate His word? Hallelujah.
Holy Spirit reign.
Reign now, Lord God. Let your power fall, Lord God. Let the Holy Ghost rain. Send all of us tonight, Jesus.
Your touch again. Holy Spirit rain down. Rain down. Let your power fall. Let your voice be heard. Come and change our hearts. As we stand on your word, Holy Spirit, rain down. Holy Spirit, rain down. Lord, rain down. Oh, comfort your heart. change our hearts as we stand on your word, Holy Spirit, rain down. Holy Spirit, rain down. Rain down. Oh, come to turn and rain. Spirit of the Lord falls upon my heart, I will dance like David danced. I will dance, dance, I'm gonna dance like David.
Time for us to pray. Brother Nathan Davis had to take his little daughter Eliza to the hospital. She got sick during the service. So let's pray like Daniel prayed. You believe we can touch the heart of God? Let's join right now together. Heavenly Father, you know what happened, Lord Jesus, to little Eliza. Dear God, her mother and father having to leave service. Dear God, to take her to the hospital because of apparently her being so sick, they felt the need to rush her there. But right now, in the name of Jesus, may the Spirit of God go to where she is. If she's in transit, Lord, if she's there at the ER, wherever she is, we send the Holy Ghost. Oh, Lamb of God, in Jesus' name, may you go touch her little heart, Father. Whatever it is that's wrong with her, dear God, may your presence come. Lord Jesus, may her mom and dad, I pray, just sense your presence near them right now, Lord God. May the Holy Ghost go to her, Lord. Touch her, Father. Grant it, dear God. In
in Jesus Christ's name. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God, glory to God. Praise the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. We love you, Lord. Hallelujah. God bless you, saints. I love you. See you in the morning, Lord willing. When the Spirit of the Lord falls upon my heart, I will dance like David danced.
The Spirit of the Lord falls upon my heart, I will dance like David danced. I will dance, I will dance, I will dance like David danced. Like Sarah was changed. When the Spirit of the Lord falls upon my heart, I'll be changed like Sarah was changed. I will change, I will change, I will change like Sarah changed. I will change, I will change. Enoch led. When the Spirit of the Lord falls upon my heart, I'm gonna leave like Enoch.